After 5 consecutive years and 5 consecutive nominations, Miller Union Executive Chef Stephen Satterfield is now officially the best chef in the Southeast. That's according to the James Beard Foundation, perhaps the most distinguished and respected authority on American cuisine. We have Chef Stephen live and in studio with us. Welcome to City Lights.
Thank you, Lois. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's so exciting. You know, many of our fellow Atlantans were cheering you on. How does it feel? Are you sleeping? Are you pinching yourself? Do your feet still touch the ground?
Well, I'm wide awake right now.
Good.
Definitely still pinching myself, but feet are planted firmly on the ground. And, you know, it's an exciting award. It's also a time to be in the restaurant and make sure that we don't disappoint anyone. We're busy. You know, people are excited to come if they haven't been before or revisit us. And we're just happy to, you know, we're very excited. We're happy as a team. And as you know, it takes a whole team to pull a restaurant off. It's not just me.
That's very humble and very proper. But come on, you got the award. But yes, I know you could not possibly achieve it without a great team working with you. I read that you didn't really start cooking seriously until you were 30.
That's correct. I studied architecture at Georgia Tech. That's why I moved to Atlanta. And
great college for it.
Yeah, it was a fantastic experience and a great education. But when it came down to it, getting into the field, it was right when everything started switching over to computer-aided design. And I signed up to work with my hands. I knew I wanted to make things. And from there, I started playing music. And
what did you play?
Well, I was a classically trained clarinetist and bass clarinetist when I was young. And
Mozart's favorite instrument.
Yeah. When I finished college, I started playing guitar. And I formed a band. And I was in an indie rock band for several years. Got signed to a label in the UK. And played music for a long time. And during that time is when I started working in restaurants. So I didn't really seriously consider cooking as a profession until after I explored the opportunities in the music industry and realized that I really wasn't making that much money.
So
I went for another very low-paying job.
Where you have to put in many hours of practice. Who taught you to truly appreciate food?
I really always appreciated food, and I sometimes used to cook dinner for my family when I was a teenager. My grandmother was a big influence on me. She had impeccable taste but simple style, and she just really was always cooking seasonally and making fresh vegetables and pickles and preserves and cakes, and she was, you know, simple food but always perfect. She had the Midas touch. I think that was the first influence I had. I also lived abroad in France in my final year of school, and I was in Paris and living alone, and I got into that Parisian habit of shopping at the market every day and getting just the little bit that you need to make dinner. And I really just explored a lot on my own, cooking at home, for one. And after that, I worked in a couple of places around town. When I was in a band, I actually worked at Eats on Ponce for 4 years.
Oh, and I loved Eats.
It's a great place.
And chicken.
Bob Hatcher was a great, he was a great boss. He really taught me a work ethic. And it was an incubator for a lot of bands. That restaurant and Tortillas on
Ponce.
Yes,
I never understood how they could stay open because the prices were so ridiculously cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, our kids were young at that time, and, you know, the four of us were dining for $10 and eating a ton of food.
Yeah, so. But it was a great place, and then I started paying more attention to food and chefs in the city, and I basically ate at Float Away Cafe shortly after they opened. I fell in love with that restaurant and the food, and I went to Ann Quattrano and begged her for a job, and she gave me a break, and I started working the wood burning grill there. Very hard job, very technical, and really a lot. It takes a lot of effort and time to learn, but because you have to build your own fire and keep it going all night, and that was, you know, advanced for someone who was kind of getting started. But I learned a ton. I didn't stay there long because I was still playing music, and we went on tour. So I had to leave the restaurant because I was gone for several months. And when I came back, I started working for Scott Peacock at Watershed. I ended up staying there for 9 years. And it was one of those things. I started as a grill cook. I moved on up to saute, and then I became a sous chef. And then I started running the kitchen after several years. And I was lucky enough to spend time with Scott. He took me under his wing and really, he saw something in me, I suppose, and just really pushed me. And I ended up being able to travel with him and cook in other cities and you know, just really learned a lot about what it takes. And he won his James Beard Award while I was working under him. So I saw it all happen, and it was pretty amazing.
And hearing you tell this story, it's easy to put two and two together now, because you obviously shared his philosophy about the beauty of farm to table and simple, fine ingredients. If you're just joining us, my guest is Stephen Satterfield. He's co-owner and executive chef of Miller Union. A few weeks ago, he was named best chef in the Southeast by the James Beard Foundation. The first time we dined at Miller Union, I was struck by the vividness of the vegetables and the presentation. And it was winter. And I remember at Watershed the same thing. And when we travel abroad, I mean, why is it in Italy, in France, in Turkey, the tomatoes are that deep red? And it can't be just that you're on vacation in a beautiful place that makes the simple ingredients taste that good. What is it that you have to do? What do you have to sort out to feature the best of simple produce?
Well, I think that's the first starting point, is working with good growers, and we have a lot of them in Atlanta. We have a vibrant farmers market scene. You know, there's so many in town alone, and there's also some in the suburbs too. We're surrounded by a rural area, so there's growers all over that are really dialing into the consumer demand for fresh food. And, you know, back in the turn of the century, which is when I started, you know, seriously cooking, Scott Peacock and Ann Quattrano were really leading the charge in this farm-to-table movement. I like to think that it's not a movement or a trend, but it's just the way we should eat. Mm-hmm. And I like to call it seasonal cooking, because it really means that every season it's going to change and you're just going to respond to it. I wrote a book called Root to Leaf, and it's all about that style of cooking where you just, you know, pay attention to the earth's rhythms and what's growing, what's in season, and respond to that. And the preparations don't have to be difficult. In fact, I don't think of it as a chefy book. I think of it as a book for the home cook. It's kind of a guide to the farmer's market. You know, go buy what looks good, go home and figure it out. You know, you don't necessarily have to go to the market with a recipe. Just get what sings to you when you see it. You know, get what looks delicious, or try something you've never cooked before. And then I can help guide you through that experience with Root to Leaf.
Wow. You opened Miller Union in 2009, the depths of the recession, and in West Midtown, well before it was a trendy neighborhood. You trendsetter, you. Why did you take that risk, Stephen? That was a huge risk. The economy had just tanked. I mean, people were in despair.
Well, I would say a restaurant is a long plan. So when we started planning, we weren't in a recession. You know, once we had the ball rolling and lease signed and everything, was when everything started to tank. And I had a lot of friends say to me, you know, this is madness. You should stop and don't open right now. It's a bad time. We were one of the few restaurants that did open that year, and everyone was hungry for something different. And there were people that, I mean, people came lined up to come to our restaurant. And I think we opened in November 2009, so right before the end of the year. In 2010, we were on the Bon Appetit top 10 in the country list. We were on Esquire's top 10.
Okay, what did you do when those issues came out? How did you celebrate?
We didn't celebrate. We were too busy trying to keep up. It was overwhelming, to be honest. And I don't think it really sunk in right away what that meant. I think we were just still trying to figure everything out. And then shortly after that, we opened for lunch in April of 2010. And, you know, it just was kind of like a steamroll effect. Like we just put our nose to the grind and just kept working because that's what we had to do to keep up. And
well, you were very close to your Georgia Tech College of Architecture. Does architecture, did your training, your study inform your presentation of food?
I think architecture definitely informs my work a lot. In presentation, I don't necessarily think so necessarily because the materials are so different. I mean, food's so organic and it has, you know.
No concrete.
Yeah, exactly. It's not structural per se. And I don't like to manipulate food too much. I actually really like to let the ingredients, you know, show themselves on the plate. So I don't really want to manipulate them too much. But I think architecture really taught me a lot about how to tap into my own creative process and also how to endure long hours and to really have a singular focus. And so for that, I'm grateful for that education and that time that I spent, you know, working on projects in school. It's a very similar process to working on a menu or a dish. It's just more ephemeral, you know, that you make it, somebody eats it, it's gone. You know, you can't walk around in it.
No, it doesn't have a nice view, although viewing it can be a nice experience. Mm-hmm. Talking with Chef Stephen Satterfield, who just won the James Beard Foundation Award for Best Chef in the Southeast. We'll be back after a short break. This is City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's Choice for NPR. This is City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's Choice for NPR. Lois Reitz is back with you and Chef Stephen Satterfield. I understand you have another cookbook out.
I do. There is a group called Short Stack Editions that publishes single subject cookbooks. Each one's a different author. And so they have almost 30 volumes now. Volume 26 was my issue, which is called Peanuts.
Ah.
So I did a whole exploration of peanuts in every form that you can think of, starting from green peanuts, which are freshly dug in the late summer, to peanut flour, peanut oil, peanut butter. It was a really fun project. And
sounds like it.
It was actually a small section in Root to Leaf that got pulled by the publisher because we were over on pages. So I approached them. I know the folks that started Short Stack Editions, and I was like, hey, I've got all this work and research I did on Peanuts. Do you want to, you want to throw a volume together? And they were all about it. So it took about a year for us to kind of go through the process. And I tested all the recipes last summer. And it was a really fun project because peanuts are such an international ingredient. They started in South America. And
I would have thought Africa.
Yeah, they're also they're a legume. They're not a nut. And they have a really interesting genetic code where once the plant flowers, the flower becomes heavy and it weights down and hits the ground. And when it does so, the plant actually pushes the flower underneath the soil. And that's where the peanut develops. It's a underground legume.
Did you read about or read anything of George Washington Carver?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I would think.
He developed over 200 uses for the peanut plant, not just the actual kernel, but the shells and the leaves and the shoots and everything. I mean, some of them are a little wacky, but he had an infatuation with the peanut plant and saw it as a way to, turn a southern crop into many different forms of, economic development.
And I must check out your Peanuts, not Charles Schultz, but your Peanuts volume. In just the 2 minutes that we have left, what does it mean to be nominated and then to win that James Beard Award? I mean, do you think, okay, this is the summit? I'm at the mountaintop, and whatever I do after this, I'll be grateful for, but it can't possibly get any better?
Well, the James Beard Foundation recognizes excellence in American cooking, and to be nominated is a huge, huge honor. I remember the first time. Well, Miller Union was actually nominated. It was semifinalist for best new restaurant in the country in 2010. That was our first foray with James Beard Foundation. The first time I was a finalist for Best Chef Southeast, it really just was so exciting. And that was 5 years ago. And since then, I've gone every year to the awards ceremony. It's an incredible experience. You're in a room full of people that are inspiring. To win is indescribable. It's just a rush that you can't really explain until you feel it. And the best part was that Ann Quattrano was the one that opened the envelope, read my name, and put the medal over my neck. So it really felt full circle.
It must have. Well, again, congratulations. We're very proud and absolutely thrilled for your hard-earned success. So many years.
Thank you. And I do think this award is really for the city. It's not just for me.
Lovely. Stephen Satterfield is executive chef and co-owner of Miller Union. Earlier this month, he was named the best chef in the Southeast by the James Beard Foundation.